Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Parshas Shlach Rishon, the first Aliyah in Parshas Shlach. Our Parsha as a whole has 119 Psukim. Shlach, the first Aliyah, is from Perek Yud Gimel and Bamidbar, Pasuk Aleph to Chof, that's 20 Psukim in total. The main point is the request and the instruction to send the spies into the land of Israel. We hear that Hashem spoke to Moshe and told him to send spies into the land of Israel. One person is sent per tribe, each one being a Nasi, generally translated as a prince or a leader. They are sent from Midbar Paran. If you remember, that's one of the previous encampments, the last encampments. And we're told they're Roshei B'nei Yisrael. They are the heads of the people of Israel. And we hear about them in the following order and the following people from each tribe. Reuven sends Shamor ben Zakur, Shimon, Shafat ben Chori, Yehuda, Kalev ben Yifuneh, Yisachar, Yigal ben Yosef, Ephraim, Hoshe ben Nun, Binyamin, Palti ben Rafu, Zevulun, Gadi El ben Sodim, Menashe sends Gadi ben Susi, Dan sends Amiel ben Gmali, Asher sends Sur Mimnichael, Naphtali sends Nachbi ben Vavsi, and Gad sends Geuel ben Machi. Moshe then changes the name of Hoshea ben Nun to Yehoshua. The instructions he then gives to these 12 individuals is the following: to start out in the south of the land and move upwards towards the mountains, and there to see what the land is like, who the people are live there, are they strong, are they weak, are they plentiful, are they few. And he has to see, is the land good, bad, are the cities fortified, are they open. He asks if is the land fat or is it lean, and he asks if there are trees there, and requests that they bring back fruit. And then we're told at the very end, Valia, that the season is, you may be Korea Novim, it's the ripening of the grape season. So this is sort of the instructions of it all laid out in front of us. A few basic points to ponder as we close this Aliyah is who really initiated this. If you go to Sefer Devarim, there when Moshe Rabbeinu recounts the Meraglim, he puts it slightly differently. There he describes it as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the people coming in front of Moshe Rabbeinu agreeing to the request, and then sending the Meraglim. Here we have it that Hashem tells Moshe to send the Meraglim. Those are two very different narratives. Which is the correct one, or how do they work together? Rashi explains, really the first the masses came to Moshe Rabbeinu, as is described in Devarim, and Moshe consulted with the Shekhinah, which is in our parsha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded by giving permission. Notice it's not an instruction, but a permission. That means that Hashem does not think it's a good idea. He knows it's a bad proposal, but he allows people to make the free choice that they have decided to. And this case is this bad operation called the spies. So that's how we put the two together. Now, who are these nominated people? We've never really heard of them before. And so Rashi says that the word Anashim suggests that they are important people, even indicating that at least at this point in time, they were kasherim. They had the possibility of being actually good people, although the actions decided it went in a different direction. Rashbam explains that Hashem did not nominate them person by person. Rather, he allowed Moshe to choose who they were. So Moshe made an announcement about the mission, since the mission had some degree of peril in it. And it was only the people who nasa libam. That's the word nasi here. It doesn't mean a leader, but nasa libam means a volunteer. So those who decided to volunteer were the ones who were chosen. That's what is going on over here. That's why Hashem did not name them. They themselves named and nominated themselves. The Gemara in Sota and Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis explains to us that these are actually not, in fact, their real names. These are the names which are the negative reflections of the actions that they had. So, example, the Gemara gives is Sasur bin Michael, comes the word Soser, to destroy or contradict. He contradicted the ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Arachaim HaKadosh explains that that's why it is that Moshe Rabbeinu had to change the name of Hoshea bin Nun to Yehoshua, to reflect that he was not part of this negative naming, this negative mission, which ultimately would reflect what the other spies would actually do. Now, why was Yehoshua picked for the name change and not anyone else? Rashi explains, because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted Hashem to help Yehoshua, so he added a name of the name of Hashem by adding a yud to Hashem. It becomes Yehoshua, which includes the name of Hashem, so Hashem should save him from the plot of the Raglim. The Kli Yakar explains that by adding the yud to his name, essentially he's inserting the name of Hashem, the yud and the hay, which Yehoshua was able to sanctify in the war against Amalek, where he was a general to it. So it relates back to his own actions as well. In fact, the Orach Haim HaKadosh adds that when you add the yud to the Yehoshua, you now have 10 letters in his name as a whole, and that is to reflect the 10, so to speak, counterbalancing the 10 miraglim that he had to have the gumption to go against. Now, isn't it clear that if you go back to Parshas Beshalach, when Yehoshua first appears, he is Yehoshua then, even though it sounds like the name Hoshea ben Nun is what only being changed now, so which is it? And Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, explains that yes, actually his name was originally changed to Yehoshua. The way it worked was like this. He was called at home Hoshea ben Nun. But when he came into the service of Moshe, when he came into being this keen and close disciple of Moshe Rabbeinu, at which point Moshe Rabbeinu changed his name originally then to Yehoshua ben Nun. But when he's selected as being one, or when he volunteers to be one of these leaders, to one of these meraglim, then at that point in time, it references him. Oh, that Hoshea comes from his house. He's the one who Moshe had called Yehoshua ben Nun already as well. That's the way the Rashbam understands. Therefore, it's not specifically related to the Meraglim episode as much as it is to the episode of or the service of Moshe, being in his service. Finally, one last question, that is, what is the point of this mission? What do you think Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to ask from them? So the Ramban explains that this was primarily a military mission. Like Moshe Rabbeinu later and sends out spies to seek out the cities in the east bank of the Jordan when they conquer the lands of Sichon and Og, to send out Yaazer and Aser, as an example. Yehoshua also sent spies to Jericho. We see that spies is a basic military protocol, not to rely on miracles. And that was the initial proposal, meaning to say what they asked of Moshe was that exactly. But when Hashem endorsed it, he added on that they should also send a Nesiim. That explains the difference between Devarim and here, according to the Ramban. Devarim was the initial request for military spying. Hashem's response was do a spy from each of the tribes. Usually spies are in small groups, like one or two people. Here in this case, it was 12, because he thought that would be able to perhaps give them a little more chance to succeed at this, even though it didn't end up working as well. And the Orach Chaim HaKadosh points out that maybe part of what their mission was is they know that Hashem had promised them that when they got to the land, they'd be able to get the treasures embedded in the land, but they felt that those would be hidden away, so they asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go in to see where the treasures would be held, so that they could ultimately get those treasures. And so they're pretending that it was really a good thing, but it wasn't such a good thing as well. Finally, one last thing, why does he ask them to bring fruit? The Ramban says, so they don't stand out of despise, because if they enter this delegation, they don't look like they're bartering or trading for fruit. It looks like something is up, which is why getting the food and the fruit was actually part of their disguise. This closes the first Aliyah. Tomorrow we'll continue with Shlach Sheni. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.